On the first question, the reports that you've seen, I'm not going to speak to that, except to say that the United States has not been involved in any offensive operations. What we're focused on, what the G7 is focused on, and again, it's reflected in our statement and in our conversation, is our work to de-escalate tensions, to de-escalate from any potential conflict. You saw Israel on the receiving end of an unprecedented attack, but our focus has been on, of course, making sure that Israel can effectively defend itself, but also de-escalating tensions, avoiding conflict, and that remains our focus. Again, I'm not going to speak to anything other than to say we were not involved in any offensive operations.
So this is, I guess, the response that Israel has had, took place overnight, just like a limited strike back against Iran. And they're saying that everything is done at this point. Like they're not going to do anything else. Everything is done. It was the response that they had. And then there's movement so far in the House to condemn Iran's attack. So that's just some of the stuff we're watching DC and internationally today. They said it was a limited thing, and it's not. I think it's all trying to limit, I guess, how much this could spread potentially throughout the Middle East. So welcome to the program, Dana Loesch, with you, top of this first hour on a TGIF. Thank heavens it's Friday, although yours truly is going to be called in for the hellscape that's federal jury duty coming up for the next 2 weeks. So we have no idea if we're going to do a show, because despite the fact that you pay six figures in taxes, you still, I know, jury of your peers. I have a two-finger salute, though. I'll talk about that later. It's ridiculous. I have no idea until the night before. All right, so the I guess, strike. I mean, it was like a mini strike. I mean, it was the whole Israel hits back. It was, they had a pause. They had this retaliatory strike was anticipated. These were missiles that were fired into the city of Isfahan in the central part of Iran. And that's the site, by the way, of this nuclear research facility. And then there's a large military air base that's there that Iran has. And so that, it seems like that's a little bit more of a, we know where your stuff is, we can touch you, we're touching you, as opposed to, oh, this is a serious hit back. Because I think, I mean, they could have obviously, I think they could have done a lot more than the response that they had. So remember, after everything happened on Saturday, immediately Iran was trying to play everything down. And we've talked about this. I don't feel like talking about it again, or I'm going to jump off my roof, because we've talked about it all week. But this strike, I think, was just an also, you know, we're touching you back. You sent some drones over, a lot of the stuff that you sent over really didn't work. We still shot everything out of the sky. We're gonna touch you back, and right where your nuclear stuff is as well. That's where we're gonna go, right where your nuke stuff is and your air facility. So this seems to be, this is more of Israel sending a message to Iran. Now, here's the other thing that I was thinking about, because the administration and others have been pressing for what they describe as like a regime change in Israel. Except, why not call for a regime change in Iran? This is the one thing that does not make sense to me. Why not call for a regime change in Iran? Because you have this, you know, religious dictatorship. And it just seems that if you're going to have a regime change somewhere, you would, you know, you'd demand to have it in Iran and not really Israel. I don't even know if they thought this all the way through. We're going to talk more about this. There's some other stuff, though, that we're going to cover, because we've got all the stuff, like I said, happening in the House as well. We also have some culture, some college. There's been some, I saw that Ilhan Omar's daughter was arrested at one of these pro-Hamas protests. And I'm not surprised. Are you really, really surprised that her daughter was out there protesting for Hamas? I don't think any of us were. But the protest, they had a Columbia University protest. Everybody was covering their faces, which I don't get. Why are you covering your face here? When people are protesting overseas, particularly in Middle Eastern countries, they're protesting because they don't want the government to see who they are so that they can kill them. Remember the Green Revolution with Iran? This was like, what, 10 years ago? And you remember the young woman, Nita, who was killed by an Iranian Revolutionary Guard member who shot her from a rooftop and killed her. She was traveling in a vehicle with her father, and there were protests blocking the street. And so they stopped their car and they got out of their car. They weren't even actually technically part of the protest. They were looking to see what was going on. And she was shot and killed by a member of Iran's government. Shot and killed. And her shooting, her bleeding out to death, everything was recorded and uploaded to the internet. You guys, I know you all remember this. That was just broadcast all over the world. And you still had Obama Biden send them pallets of cash. You still had Obama Biden unfreeze these sanctions. And so it allowed them to start earning a ton of money from their oil sales. I mean, they bought all this stuff. The Obama Biden administration bought all this stuff, and Biden continues to do so by loosening these sanctions all the more. You remember that, Kane, right? That was like a decade ago. That was the Green Revolution, and you had everybody out in the street. And that was haunting because she was shot and killed on camera. It was someone who just happened to be recording everything. And just as the situation would have it, she was shot right on the frame and fell to the sidewalk. And at first, nobody knew what was going on until they saw the blood pour out on the sidewalk. And her father was there with her, and everyone was freaking out. And that became, she became, a real cry for activism in Iran, and everybody was covering their faces. Now you get why people cover their faces when they're protesting, particularly in Middle Eastern countries. Over here, they do it because they're pansies. Over here, they do it because they think it makes them look tough. Over here, they do it because they've just seen people do it elsewhere, and they want to cosplay as freedom fighters here in the freest nation in the world. But yet all of these people are entirely silent when an actual injustice happens. When actual injustice happens, like for instance the situation of Dexter Taylor, people are completely quiet, completely quiet. I wanted to also touch on, do you guys know that on this day in 1775, the shot heard round the world that kicked off the American War for Independence, not the American Revolution, the War of Independence. The Revolution had already happened. It already kicked into gear. The Revolution was the waking people up. The Revolution was the arguing in the penny presses. The Revolution was the colonists waking up all throughout the 13 colonies. The War of Independence was the actual battle. But on this day in 1775, it was the first attempted federal gun grab. The first attempted federal gun grab, Lexington and Concord. Because, see, they had heard that these colonists had cannons, because people could always own cannons. They had heard that they had cannons, and they were coming to take the guns of American colonists. And they said that was the time when King George had told the Prime Minister of Great Britain at the time that these colonists have to decide whether they're going to be subject to this country or independent. And the crown wanted to use force. And you had all of this tension building for years throughout the colonies, all of this tension. And back in 1774, there were some forces that had seized some gunpowder and munitions and black powder. That was very, very, very important to the colonists, obviously. They needed their gunpowder. And so they started seizing this, and the crown put in place a ban. They banned the import of powder and firearms. And they also had all these other economic measures that were incredibly difficult for the colonists, that were making it harder for them to earn a living, harder for them to live their lives, harder for them to purchase everyday things. And then, of course, you had the Americans that were boycotting British products. And then it all started building. It began building. And colonists began storing up their munitions because they realized they were going to be in a situation where they had to defend themselves. Because it's one thing that they realized if they could take the arms of whoever they were trying to crush, if they could make them without gunpowder and cannon, their rebellion would be a lot easier to quash. But it was a little more difficult with these colonists. And so they wanted to seize. You had Gage's spies at Concord. And this was the night before. So April 18th, about 10 o'clock at night, they were getting their plan underway to go and seize the colonists' powder and this cannon. They knew that they had a cannon that they were keeping under wraps. So they had Lieutenant Colonel Francis Smith the British regulars under his command, they started towards Lexington and Concord. And there's several books about it that I've read that get into the history of this, and it's absolutely fascinating. And they knew when they came around the road, and they still have, you know, the famous bridge there and all of this other stuff. They heard the sound of the drums. Americans were being called to arms. You had Captain John Parker's militia. They were assembled right there on the Lexington Common. And, you know, remember French and Indian War. So a lot of these guys had their munitions. They had cannons from these previous conflicts. And this militia had been up all night, thanks to Paul Revere's initial warning that the Redcoats were coming indeed. And that's when Parker told his men, he said, quote, "Let the troops pass by. Don't molest them without they being first." And there was a British officer that had screamed out, "Damn them, we'll have them." And apparently the Patriots were a little nervous because they realized there were a lot of British people. There were a lot of Redcoats there. There were quite a lot. But Parker said, "No, you're going to stand your ground. You're going to stand your ground and do not fire upon. But if they want a war, let it begin here." And none of Parker's men laid down their arms. None of them. They were told, they were barked at by the Brits, "Lay down your arms," and it was not happening. They stood their ground. And there were witnesses that were saying it was like time stood still. Nobody knew which side fired first, but there was a high crack shot that rang out in the air. And then the British charged. And that's how it started. And apparently British officers totally lost control of their men, because one of the great things that the colonists had incorporated was asymmetrical warfare. You know, French and Indian War taught these colonists, these veterans, a lot of things. And asymmetrical warfare was one of them. And so that's how it started. They were trying to seize this cannon. They wanted to seize and destroy it. They wanted to seize all the munitions that all the colonists had hidden in the barns and homes. And this is how the American War for Independence began. It was the first federally attempted gun control, gun grab. And that's how the War of Independence began. So keep that in mind and remember your American DNA, particularly when you hear stories like Dexter Taylor's. We're going to talk about A Tale of Two Dexters coming up. We got that for you. We also have headlines, Florida Man, Days of These United States, all kinds of good stuff. Our partners over at Black Rifle Coffee, the best coffee you can drink, veteran-owned, veteran-run. They hire active duty and vets, and they stand up for our first responders, our police officers, premium coffee for premium people who love America. They got all kinds of delicious roast profiles, and when you join the Black Rifle Coffee Club, you get free shipping, your roast of choice, shipped to your door, again, for free, however often you want. And you can save 20% using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com. Check out all the different roasts they have. And they also have a variety of choices on how to have your coffee. If you want ground beans, whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink, you can find grinders, kettles, all kinds of stuff. Everything that you need for the perfect cup of coffee. So try for yourself today at blackriflecoffee.com. Order today and get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
The weird Kennedy family had this event to endorse Biden in Philly in their latest rebuke to RFK. I think that this, first off, I just think if you're going to do stuff like this, then maybe don't have a million skeletons in your closet as a family. And who was the guy who had the weird frozen face that was standing behind him? It was like watching, it was like looking at the Joker without his makeup. Who was that guy? Like, did the dentist leave the plastic thing in his mouth?
Juan showing
on the simulcast. He's a Kennedy, clearly, but yeah. It's like, who left the thing in the dude's mouth? Like, how thirsty is your grifter-ass family that they got to stand up there and cling to the achievements of, like, what, the generation before the generation? Yeah. And for relevancy? I am so tired of this. They act like the royal family of the United States, and I'm so tired of it. I am so tired of it. Stop with your freak show. They endorsed Biden, and Biden was standing there, you know, with this, you know, his hands crossed, looking at his shoes. Just, I don't know. I got a lot more mean things to say about this, but I don't know. Let's see. Elon Musk is funding a First Amendment campaign to combat relentless attacks on free speech. He's saying that he's going to fund a national campaign in support of the First Amendment. And said that it's because of the relentless attacks, which is true, And this also comes on the heels of that NPR CEO, Catherine Maher, who was saying that the First Amendment's a little bit problematic concerning targeting misinformation. So insane. Commercial real estate foreclosures have spiked 117% over the last year because the economy is a giant trash baby. That's why. 117% just over the last year alone. And it reflects the difficulty, obviously, that the real estate market is experiencing, all hurt by high interest rates, which are not going to be coming down anytime soon. So that's a year to date in March, that 117% same. A Whole Foods shopper is in disbelief because she said that she paid for $7 for an apple. First off, you paid $7 for an apple and now you're shocked because you're coming home and then you're doing this self-gratifying video where you're talking about how you can't believe you paid $7 for an apple. I can believe that you paid seven. I can believe that someone who's acting shocked over only getting home and discovering that they paid $7 for an apple, paid $7 for an apple, right? Whole Foods is whole paycheck. Do you ever feel like you're in sometimes a third world country when you go in there? That's like they purposely, I think they try to do poverty chic with their produce section. I really do. And then you get to their wine section and then there's like a surprise sommelier that jumps the hell out from behind a bunch of boxes. And you're like, who are you? There was nobody here a second ago. More Americans are becoming Alice's. They can't afford rent and groceries, but are falling through the cracks in the country's safety net because of Bidenomics. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. A Tale of Two Dexters, our partners that help bring you free radio. Field of Greens. It's not a supplement. This is an actual part of your meal, and it's also a part of your overall body's health. It's a great way for you to get all of the nutrients from your greens, from your fruits and vegetables that you need, that your body requires in a day, your day's servings, your day's requirement of servings. And you notice when you're eating healthier. I mean, you know that you can know that you are. And these field of greens, each super fruit and vegetables, these vegetables and all the stuff that they pick has been medically selected by doctors, each for a very specific health benefit. Like some of the fruits and veggies they include help your lungs, some are targeted for your kidneys, others support metabolism, all of that stuff. And it's 100% USDA organic fruits and vegetables, antioxidants, fiber, because not enough people are getting fiber, prebiotics, all of it formulated by this team of actual legitimate physicians. And you're going to notice, like I said, the difference. One scoop into 8 ounces of a healthy beverage. It can be water. It can be club soda. It can be a smoothie. I mean, they have recipes on their website. But this is how you get your full day servings of all the fruit and vegetables you need in order to keep your body running optimally. So to start, Field of Greens wants to give you 15% off your first order plus free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at fieldofgreens.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
I've never thought I'd see a time when I'm going through a neighborhood or a rural town in the West or Senate to see big signs that have a Trump sign in the middle that says F Biden, and having a little kid standing with his middle finger. 7 years old, 8 years old. Well, I promise it happens all the time.
Well, I mean, I guess it's better than them, I don't know, snorting coke off a naked hooker's backsides and, you know, using all the Chinese money that you got after merging out your dad's elected offices in order to enrich yourself and your family. And then, you know, I don't know, illegally making a purchase of a firearm because you're high as a kite on coke. And, I don't know. Like, guess let's get into some of the laws that Hunter Biden broke. Or how about Ashley Biden? I mean, you have your daughter's my age and she's so drugged out and strung out. She can't even like keep a regular life. Like, what in the world? Maybe focus on your own kids. I think having a 7-year-old, which we all know this didn't happen, but I think having a 7-year-old give him the middle finger is like way, way not even remotely as bad as what his kids have done, because him and Jill have been such great mom and dad. Good grief. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. I don't believe that story. I don't believe any of the stories that he says. But also, like, what was his point? When he was talking about this, he's trying to act like it happens all the time. Is he trying to say that they're nasty and their kids are nasty too? Is that what he's trying to say?
All I know is that it's self-awareness level zero. If you're seeing this everywhere, F. Biden and people throwing up the middle fingers at you, you may want to look internally at maybe your policies.
Yeah, you might want to kind of see what's happening there. just have to. Lorraine shared. I could not stop laughing. I cannot stop laughing at this still. She shared this story that. Can I just read you the headline? So the Papua New Guinea people are mad because Biden said that his uncle Bozy, who was eaten by cannibals, the piece out on Substack last night for Chapter and Verse, and you can read that. They're mad because Joe Biden made it sound like cannibals run Papua New Guinea, right? So the headline is this, quote, "They wouldn't just eat any white men that fell out of the sky." Outraged Papua New Guinea academics lash out at Biden's unacceptable suggestion that cannibals ate his World War II uncle. Academics said that his categorization of the cannibalism was very offensive. So they're very upset. And they said that, I mean, historically it's been reported, but the Pacific nation that occupies the eastern half of the island, they said that his categorization of that is ridiculously offensive. Michael Kabuni, who's a political science lecturer at the University of Papua New Guinea, said that the way that Biden talked, it sounds like he's just going to eat any, they're going to eat any white people that fall out of the sky. And everyone said, why don't you just say what you want to say, that it's racist AF? Why don't you just say that? Just say what everyone's thinking. How can Donald Trump eat a taco on Cinco de Mayo and everyone loses their mind? But Biden says that there's a bunch of cannibals on, you know, in Papua New Guinea, and everyone's like, well, that's just poorly worded. I mean, what in the world? And Kabuni was arguing, he was saying that the Melanesian people are very proud and they would be very offended by Biden's generalization of cannibalism. Now, I'm not going to sit here and debate the finer points of cannibalism because that's just weird. Not going to do it. This guy, he was saying that back, I guess, in the days of yore, whenever that is, that it was a practice of a sign of respect in very specific contexts to prevent decomposition of a loved one. This is nasty. I'm not debating, I'm just telling you what it is. He's saying that they didn't just eat random people, that it was like basically like a funerary rite or something like that, right? And that it was given as a sign of respect. And it was not a practice that they would do for somebody who fell out of the sky. Also, would he have just fallen out of the sky? Like the way the context that Biden puts it in, it sounds like it was, you know, just a white dude that fell out of the clouds and just landed right there on their fire pit. You know, I mean, it's not really, I don't think that that's how plane crashes work, especially wasn't he north of the island? So he was not even on that side of the island in the first place. He apparently was like on the western side, northwestern side. So that doesn't even make any sense. I mean,
why does Papua New Guinea make fun of his stutter like that?
Yeah. Those mean people, they're so racist towards this Irish stutterer. The Irish Stutterers. Ooh, it's a cover band of Joe Biden lookalikes, and they get up and they can't really play their instruments, and their lyrics are all, ugh. It's the Irish Stutterers. It's like Stefan, but with like made-up bands. Alan Bird is the governor of Papua New Guinea's province of East Sepik, and he said that the comments were hilarious and that he was lost for words. So is Joe Biden every day. The way that his surrogates are trying to spin this is wild. Well, you know, Joe Biden probably just heard his parents talking about his uncle who got ate. And, you know, that story stayed with him for the rest of his life. Shut up. We're not doing this. No, no, that's not how this works. We're going by the rules y'all set. Okay. He just racistly cast aspersions on the character of this entire nation. It's an island of cannibals. Well, half of it anyway. Of all cannibals. That's what he made it seem like. So they're upset. Do you think there's going to be a statement of apology? Please, please, please let Peter Ducey ask this at the press conference. Please. It's Mother's Day coming up. I think a lot of us ladies would love this as a gift. let Peter Ducey ask this at the press conference of Corinne Jean-Pierre. Yes, yeah, so Papua New Guinea, they're outraged over President Biden's claim that the country is populated by cannibals who ate his uncle. Do you have any comment on that? I just want to see her stutter and dance around and try to figure out how to answer that one and flip through her binder like they gave her notes. Oh, this is the cannibal section. Like they gave her some notes for this. No, so stupid. I can't. I can't even deal with this. I'm not. I just can't. Oh, man. And again, if you Lorraine has a piece up on Substack and it's literally called Uncle Bozy Got Ate by Cannibals. And it gets into the whole history of this dude and his and Biden's claim. And apparently he's like told this several different ways. But he's like, yeah, there's a lot of cannibals in New Guinea at the time. You know, they went back and they're like, yep, he got eaten. The only true thing that was in Biden's statement is the fact that Uncle Bozy was in the Army Air Force. But he wasn't a pilot. He was a passenger. And it wasn't on D-Day that he was flying. And he actually wasn't over that specific part of the island. So literally like nothing is in there. And Uncle Bozy, apparently he crashed a month before D-Day. Oh, I can't deal with it. I just can't. This is so ridiculous. They wouldn't just eat any white men that fell out of the sky. Happens to be, I think, my favorite headline right now. Well, somebody apparently in the show chat said that Uncle Bozy was the other white meat. So I'm made of jokes, but I'm trying to really behave myself here. Biden's rolling out new protections for alphabet people, but he's not addressing any kind of ban on transgender athletes. So he had tweeted something about this the other day. This is one of the new things. You know, they're trying to buy votes with the college loan, quote unquote, forgiveness. So now you have these new rolled out protections for Alphabet Plus students. That's how it's put out there, is Alphabet Plus. Whatever that plus, like the rest of them don't even get humored with a letter. You just get an addition sign. That's all you get. You don't merit anything else. It's clearly a political mover, a maneuver. So the new provisions are a part of this new regulation issued by the Education Department. And they're saying Alphabet Plus, but you know, it really, they don't care about any of the other letters. It's just the T's, right? They only care about the T's. And this is, the new title, they're trying to say, and this is a Title IX issue, that students who face discrimination are going to get they're entitled to a response. They're trying to put men cosplaying as women and incorporate them under Title IX protections, which doesn't that ruin the entire spirit of that title? That ruins the whole, then why even have the regulation in the first place? Because wasn't it designed, whether you agree with it or not, wasn't the claim that they needed to protect women? So they needed to pass title. So then okay. So now it's just men dressing as women. It doesn't even have any point anymore. There's no point to it. There's no point to any of it anymore. If they're going to just, I guess, change what they think a female is. Good heavens. So some of the other stuff that we're watching today, in addition to, I really want to see that. If that happens, we'll take that live. If they do that, if they actually ask that at the White House press avail, well, of course we're totally going to take it. Why would we not? It's just I really hope that question is asked. But we're going to get into a tale of two Dexters, because there have been protests over, and we talked about this incident or the case of Dexter Reed, right? Dexter Reed was the guy who, during a traffic stop, he literally shot at cops. He mag dumped into these officers, shot one officer through his forearm. And officers returned fire, killing Reed. And people have been out in the street protesting for Dexter Reed, completely glossing over the fact that the guy who has a rap sheet wasn't innocent and was already out. He was on pretrial release because he had felony weapons charges already. And then he turns around and shoots at cops. And that makes me think that's why they had multiple officers show up when they initially stopped him, because his car, you know, you run the you run the tag on it, you run the plates on the car, and it's going to come back that the dude's out on pretrial, that he's got a warrant out for his arrest, already numerous felony weapons charges. And so he fires and kills these, or tries to kill these officers, and they return fire. And so people have been out, excuse me, protesting for him outside of the Chicago Police HQ. And speakers have been demanding. They said that Reed was shot and was assassinated. One woman said that he was overly killed, whatever that means, and that there's no evidence that Reed shot first, other than the video in which you can literally see Reed shooting them first. And I've watched the video as much as I don't want to, but, you know, I watched the video and Reed literally shot first, driving around with a ski mask, gun right in his front seat, and he's shooting the cops. Okay. But none of these people, all the that are out here protesting for Dexter Reed, interesting that none of them are out here for Dexter Taylor. I mean, there's a case of an innocent man who was raided by the state and thrown into Rikers, and now he faces nearly 20 years of his life in jail for literally doing nothing wrong. I don't recognize the recent New York law that tries to make felons out of innocent people by conflicting with federal statute. We have more on the way as we roll towards the conclusion of this first hour. And as we do, partners for this hour of the program, our friends over at Ready Wise, make sure you're always prepared so that you never have to worry about where your next meal comes from. Heaven forbid if there's a natural disaster or anything else. And being prepared is super, super important. And so when you partner with Ready Wise, you are supporting not only American jobs, but you're getting high quality, premium U.S. food packed at their U.S. state-of-the-art plant. And it's meals at the ready, whether it is a sudden storm, a power outage, supply chain disruption, or whether you just want to go hiking or hunting or whatever. You got peace of mind knowing you have meals on hand to feed your family. They have an emergency 1 month supply right now. A 2 bucket bundle includes 36 pouches of premium food. Plus you get 2000 calories plus to over 2000 calories and over 50 grams of protein per day. Again, all high quality U.S. ingredients. No refrigeration required, 25-year shelf life. So the time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use code Dana20 to get 20% off any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Green texts on iPhones, they're ruining relationships. That's right. Non-iPhone users everywhere are being excluded from group texts, from sports teams chats to birthday chats to vacation plan chats. They're getting cut out, missing out on plans and conversations. And who's to blame here? Apple. That's just one of the dirty tactics that Apple uses to keep a stranglehold on the smartphone market. Apple has used its monopoly on smartphones to lock Americans into services and amass billions of dollars in profits. Apple even takes a cut every time you use Tap to Pay and has blocked a new app that would have let Android users finally use iMessage and get those blue texts.
What?
That's why last month the Department of Justice sued Apple for its broad-based exclusionary conduct. And that's the
Can somebody teach this old coot how to use her phone? Please. Can someone teach her? Teach her how to use her phone. Like, literally everybody has access to group text. You realize, I don't know where she thinks the monopoly comes from. They don't even have 60% share of the market. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Did she just, like, wake up and was like, what am I going to complain about today? How many jump cuts were in that? Like a million.
Yeah.
Oh, honey, do you want a beer? Who sits here and wakes up and goes, oh, I feel repressed because my texts are green. No one's getting cut out of anything, Karen. Nobody's getting cut out of a single thing. What a weird thing to complain about. What is wrong with her? Does she not know how any of this works? They do not have a smartphone monopoly. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. Yes.
It appears that iOS holds 29% of the worldwide share of the mobile operating system market. That's up from 27. But okay. Android accounts for the vast majority of the remainder of the mobile OS market, holding 70.26%. Oh. So Android's actually the monopoly here.
What is she? Whoever has paid attention to the color of the texts
I notice it right away, actually. I can tell if I text somebody for the first time and it comes up green, I know they don't have an iPhone. It's just how it works.
I just don't care.
That doesn't, prevent you from sending a text, though. It still
exactly
works.
That's why it's so dumb what she said.
Even Steve is like, okay, this is ridiculous.
I have group texts with people that have Androids. I don't understand
what
you're
saying. I'm sure I do, too. I'm actually looking. I've never cared enough to pay attention. I've literally never cared enough.
Oh, there's
enough.
A couple of group threads we're on that there's a couple of Androids
got,
in there.
Android users? Paranoid yeah. Android? Really?
I mean, it's 70% of the market.
Yeah, it is. I've literally never paid attention. I've never paid attention to that.
Why do they always go after?
Why does she? What? But do you notice how the immediate response is she's being repressed? Maybe she's not being left out of chats. Maybe no one wants to chat with her because she is whiny as all get out. Maybe it's that. And then when she asked about it, they lied to her. Oh, mama, the reason that you're not in it. Oh, it's because, you don't have an Apple. That's why.
It's her jitterbug.
Yeah, it's her jitterbug phone. You can't use that on the jitterbug, mama. Mama Warren. We got a whole other hour coming up. Stick with us. Our partners at Help Bring You Free Radio, Gold Co. Precious Metals. I mean, you might as well. You need to get some gold and silver and protect your savings with actual metals. And Gold Co. makes it easy. It can be a very oversaturated industry, the gold IRA field. But you really have an easy choice with Gold Co. because they're incredibly transparent. They have no critical reviews. I mean, that's a great company. I worked with them. And in this volatile economy, I don't really think you want to wait to find out how bad it gets before you decide to protect, you know, what you got with gold and silver. Use it as a hedge against inflation. Gold Co. can help. They have a free 2024 wealth protection kit. So you can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver as a listener of this show. It's only while supplies last. They're going to walk you through the economy of how gold IRAs work and make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. No pressure approach. Get started today at danalikesgold.com and get your free gold kit from Gold Co. Learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. Visit danalikesgold.com.
Well, instead of importing foreign products, I'm exporting Fevdar products.
Fevdar products are my favorite. I don't know about you, but I wake up every day using Fevdar products. The best. What's your favorite rap rap product, Kane? I love rap rap sprat rap. It's my favorite.
Oh, you know what? I'll have to go with you on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I wake up every day and I just after using the rap rap product, I feel from front. It's amazing. Welcome back to the show, Dana Lash, with you. Top of the second hour. What do you mean you don't? Can we hear it again? You don't know what this product is? Are you American?
Seven important foreign products. I'm exporting Fevdar products.
Fevdar products. Yes. Fevdar products. Fevdar. You know, I know that it's like the era of quiet luxury, but I'm all for it. It's my favorite. It's the best. Just want a big sweatshirt that says it. Fevdar.
Uncle Bozy loved those products too.
Is that the sound that the cannibals made when they ate him?
I think so.
Fevdar. This tastes like. Is it that? I don't know. Yeah, the I don't even know what that means. He just does he know what that means? Did he actually go back and clarify? I don't think he did.
No.
Did anyone clarify?
Nope.
No one clarified it. I don't know. Can we add that to Peter Ducey's list to ask? Can you please ask Henri Jean-Pierre about the Frenfren products? I could make fun of this all day, but I just think that when you're talking like that and you're the president of the United States and you're on camera, maybe, I don't know, you should take the marbles out of your mouth. It's a thought. Don't make fun of his stutter. That's not what a stutter is. That's called senility. That's not a stutter. That's called brain cheese. That's what that is. It's not a stutter. For products. He just doesn't know what. You can't sit here and say that a man's inability to talk because of clearly a catastrophic stroke or something, that now that's a stutter. You don't get to hide behind that as a way to not answer to the American people as to why his health has been so compromised. I mean, at least, you know, looking at his ability to speak and talk and he moves like a Barbie. Or like Ken. You know, Ken didn't have joints in his arms. Ken could just do, you know, raise his arms. And it was always, this is going to be a totally weird story, but we're going with it anyway. I'm going to bring the tugboat into shore just to pull up a chair. One of my biggest pet peeves and why I hated Barbies, I did not really enjoy playing with Barbies as a child. And do you want to know why? Because the legs. It was so annoying. It was only like after a certain point did they make Barbie with her knees bendy. But Ken's knees never bent. So it was stupid if you had the Barbie dream house and you were, I had a big fight with my cousin one time because we were trying to place the Barbie furniture in the Barbie dream house one year, right? It was at my grandma's house. And my idea was you have to place the furniture in the Barbie dream house. And I think that you engineers out there and like, you know, that you guys will all agree with me on this. You place the furniture with how the Barbies sit, right? So, I mean, if you have, think about it. If you are in your own home and your legs don't bend, are you going to have your coffee table that close to your sofa? No, you're not. You know why? Because your legs will kick it the hell over because they can't bend. So my thought was, we're going to structure the environment to fit the Barbie's form. I'm one of those people that believes that the style follows form. But that's not what my cousin thought. She had this insane idea. We're going to put it like we would normally put it. But that's stupid because then when the Barbies sit there, you got to move all the damn furniture. That's so dumb. Like move it to how they use it. It's going to be normal to them because their legs don't bend. It makes sense. This is the stuff girls did, Kane. Men out there, this is how girls are. Okay? This is what we fight about. It literally got into a fight and I pulled her hair. I pulled her hair because I was like, you're so dumb. I'm just not even dealing with you. You're wrong about the furniture, B. I totally got put in a timeout, but actually my parents didn't do timeouts. They beat my A double snakes, and that's why I'm a productive member of society today. So my whole point is that he doesn't bend. If you watch him walk, like he shuffles, his arms stay at his side. It's like an alien trying to convince everyone that it's human. I feel like I'm doing a good job. Look at me walking through this field. And he's just shuffling in his arms. Go this way, mister. I'm walking to where this white glove man is leading me.
How you do, fellow human?
How do, fellow human? It's me, President Biden. It just doesn't look good. I want a president that looks strong and healthy and like he can walk. I mean, that's, you know, pretty low bar.
How far we've fallen.
It's not a lot to ask.
Ladies, raise your standards.
Oh, man. It's not a lot to ask, I think. You know, just, you know, little things in life. That's all we want. Just the little things in life. Oh, my gosh. So that's, I don't even know what this, I don't even, between this and Uncle Bozy, you know, cannibals ate my son, Bo. I just can't. I'm waiting for that one. I can't deal with it. And we got this guy. Like, for instance, can we just please hear an audio soundbite number 3? I don't know what I'm asking for here. Let's just go ahead.
I see a future with a planet. We save the planet as this guy's busting his neck doing from climate change. Literally. Climate crisis in America.
Words together. Literally. Like he's busting his neck doing from climate change, literally. All your base are belong to us. These are words that humans use. What does he say? I see. I can't even do this anymore. Oh my gosh. What is this? I see a future with a planet. Well, yay.
End of quote.
Yeah. We save the planet as this guy busting his neck. Wow. He didn't just bust his ass. He busted his whole neck. Doing from the climate change, Kane. Doing from the climate change. Yes. Doing from the climate change. Literally. Have you ever seen those comedians? They send somebody out. And they have a mic, like a headpiece in their ear, And this is my ear monitors are so I can hear myself and hear the program and that. But for people to be able to hear, like, the production team talk to them and all this stuff, and they send them out to go and interact with people, and they tell them in their ear what they have to say, that is, it's either he had a catastrophic stroke or it's that. There's literally no other explanation for this. Have you ever busted your neck, Kane?
No.
You dog face pony soldier.
Not fighting climate change. I can tell you that.
No, doing from the climate change.
Oh, that's right. Doing from climate change.
Have you ever did from the climate change?
I've never busted my neck doing from climate change.
I haven't either. I've never did the climate change and busted my neck. I just
had a couple car accidents, did a little damage, but never from doing from climate change. Never did that.
At least he sees the future with a planet. No, it could be worse, guys. Could be worse. So that's not even the worst of it. Can I have the jewel of all of it? Audio soundbite one, please. Biden versus the takeout box at a Wawa.
Mr. President, I'm going to pick up a few pounds here.
And I'll pick up the awesome included drinks for you as well. Just to enjoy.
We can take that one.
You take that box.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go order a milkshake.
Yeah.
He just gives up, walks away. Gives up and walks away.
That's how he handles the presidency.
Yeah, that's exactly. That was Afghanistan, but in Wawa box form.
Exactly.
That's what happened in Afghanistan. He just couldn't put. And he just walks away. That's exactly what happened. So he goes, "You take that box. I'm gonna go order a milkshake," and then he wanders away. And he notice how he says it as he's wandering away.
Yeah.
He just leaves. And then I'm going to go get a milkshake. And then wanders over. And everyone's, they have to follow him. What happened to the box? What was in the box? What's in the box?
Box assembly looked difficult to him. Looks like he was struggling.
I mean, it was like watching a toddler with a shape sorter be unsuccessful. Sometimes you're like, I feel sad for that baby. This is a grown man. Maybe he busted his neck doing from the climate change. I don't know.
That could be.
What is this object? The human made it look so easy. No, it is. I don't want to be able to make fun that much of the president of the United States, even if he is of a different political persuasion. Because I'm thinking of all of the bad guys around the world. Do you think that scares them? No. Do you think that the dudes in DOD who are wearing pantyhose and lipstick sitting around with their size XL big bone lady skirts, because they're dudes, sitting around, do you think that they scare our enemies? No. No. No, they don't. They don't scare them at all. So I've been interested in the Trump jury thing. Because they said, and I haven't been talking about all of this every day because I just am not going to do it. But the jury selection is interesting. And I love how some talking heads on some cable news networks that are very far left, they're worried that there's going to be like a sleeper supporter that gets through. Someone who's not going to be honest about whether or not they could be biased. And I'm thinking, like, how honest do you have to be, right? Like when you go in for jury duty, because I told you guys I have to go in for federal jury duty. So like literally for half a month, I have to call in every day and I may be here, I may not. It's so convenient with broadcasting, right? It's very convenient. And jury of your peers, whatever. I don't have faith in the system. I really don't. And so should I be that if they ask me like a question like that, I mean, how unbiased should I be? You mean if we're going to presuppose that the system works, am I going to be unbiased? That's kind of my response. I don't know how. I don't know. But they could not. I mean, I guess that how long did it take them to actually find enough jurors? Because they kept going through slates of people. Nobody could be unbiased.
Yeah, I thought it was faster than I originally thought.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it took it seemed like it dragged on forever.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Maybe. I don't. The way I saw it was that they quickly, I just saw the headlines, quickly found a couple and then they quickly lost a couple. And then now I saw it, what was it, last night? They had all the jurors. So to me, it seemed like it was pretty quickly.
I don't know. I don't know if I, I just like with, I don't have any faith in New York system, like at all. I think you could probably go to court in Tijuana and probably, and get a better, have a better chance at achieving justice than you can in New York. Our friends at Kel-Tec, the awesome, you've heard about this for quite some time, the Sub 2K Gen 3 and Kel-Tec Innovation. This is a, it's a 9mm carbine, right? And the whole thing folds in half. Now, I have the previous version, the previous iteration of the Sub 2K, the Gen 3. You don't have to detach your optics to fold it in half. Simple twist and fold, patent pending rotating forend, just folds it in half and as quickly and easily deploys it too. You have the also upgraded aluminum trigger, which is a lightened 5-pound pull now. You have upgraded action, easy, it makes for easy racking, lightened action, easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open, new chamber indicator, all kinds of good stuff. Made in America, located in Florida, family owned, family operated, Kel-Tec. To learn more about the Sub 2K Gen 3 9mm carbine, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So we had the Kennedy family. I'm not going to, we talked about how they were endorsing, I'm not going to get into them again, how they were endorsing Joe Biden. Foreign holdings of U.S. treasuries hit a record high. Japan holdings have risen, according to new data in economic news today. Holdings, almost $8 trillion up, revised from literally just, it's pretty much $8 trillion. I mean, I know we don't round up when it gets into the trillions of dollars, but I do. Because I don't know. We have no experience with trillions of dollars, folks. Google fires 28 workers for protesting $1.2 billion, the $1.2 billion Israel contract. They were unhappy with it. They staged sit-in protests at the company's offices in Seattle, New York, and Sunnyvale, all over Project Nimbus, which is a joint contract to provide the Israeli government and military with cloud and AI services. 28 people were fired. 9 employees were arrested. They sat in literally in the boss's office, and they wore T-shirts and raised banners that said no more genocide for profit, proving that they have no idea what either of those things mean. And here we go again. Human cases of bird flu, an enormous concern. They're trying to say that they found it in milk, didn't they? They're trying to, yeah. They're saying, oh, goodness, no, it's the H5N1 strain has become a global zoonotic animal pandemic, said one. This is the chief scientist for the UN's health agency. He told reporters this in Geneva. And they said that there have been hundreds of cases where humans have been infected through contact with animals, and the mortality rate is extremely high, they said. Anything I think that people can float at this point to try to make it to where everyone shuttered in for elections, no. Americans check their phones 144 times a day. And they say, here's how you can break bad digital habits. I think that that's kind of a crutch. I think you either have bad habits and you're in the moment or you're not in the moment. And if you are just going to blame a device, then you're not taking responsibility for your own behaviors. I don't believe in phone addiction. I don't believe in any of that stuff. I think it's just, it comes down to using it as a crutch to excuse human behavior and excuse how you're going to prioritize stuff. Either you aren't going to check your phone at dinner because you're being respectful, or you're a jackwagon and you're going to check your phone at dinner. But it has nothing to do with you being addicted to the device. It's just you being rude. I don't know why people try to make this like a thing that has to be solved. I don't know. This woman was arrested because cocaine was found in her son's cubby at school. Immediately, we want to know if her son's name was Hunter. It's a WDSU Channel 6. It's an NBC affiliate. They said the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Department, they found the child with 4 ounces of cocaine at school.
4 ounces?
J.C. Ellis Elementary School. They said that a teacher notified the administration out of concern. They thought it may have been an illegal substance, which it was, and they got it handled. But they said that, yeah. Yeah. I mean, how does that accidentally happen? I mean, I don't know. We've got more on the way. The Tale of Two Dexters, latest 2024 polling, and more. Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I hope so. I mean, I really do. Mike's a good man in a tough situation. We do not need a third speaker in one Congress, for goodness sake. I hope this motion to vacate doesn't come. I was against it for, you know, when they did it to Speaker McCarthy. I thought that was wrong. Certainly wrong now as well. So let's hope not. Let's stay focused on what needs to happen in 6 months.
Right.
We need President Trump in the White House. We need to win back the United States Senate and keep the U.S. House.
Yeah, he's right with that, because this is just stupid. There's not enough Republican muscle in the House to deal with another speakership change. I mean, this is what Gates and company wanted. Now you can see why I didn't want that change just then. It had nothing to do with whether or not you liked or opposed the speaker at the time. It had everything to do with the timing, because we knew that people were going to be retiring and leaving office. We knew before the McCarthy fight happened that we were going to be plus one in the House at this time. We knew this. And yet they still pushed forward with this anyway. And the difference between McCarthy and Johnson, really, in terms of record, they're not different. They're both fairly moderate. And the only difference is that McCarthy had a little more political capital, whereas Johnson does not. And that's the difference that you're seeing here with a number of issues. So they loved Johnson until they realized that their move here made it to where, you know, you got a guy who's significantly weaker in terms of having capital to push around and influence over others. You're not going to get a super conservative speaker. And I feel like there were some members of the House that lied to you about that. They lied to you about it. I mean, ultimately, if I'm being honest, I think it was Gates that had an absolute fit because he expected McCarthy to intervene for him on an ethics investigation. And when McCarthy declined, Gates decided to take it personal. And unfortunately, that personal back and forth extended to the entire House race. And now we're still suffering the consequences of that. And it has nothing to do with whether or not you like Gates or not. That has no bearing on whether or not his move here was sound strategy, which it was not. It was a bad move. And now we're left with a plus one with a weaker speaker, even that didn't get any more conservative, definitely. And still all of this infighting. I mean, what did you think you were going to get? And shame on the people who were lying to the American voter, Republicans who were lying to the American voter, acting like they were going to get something way more conservative. And you were going to see some real evidence of this by the way things moved in the House. That was never going to happen. And I took heat from people telling you that this is exactly the way it was going to be after the whole vote took place. And here we are. I'm not wrong with this stuff. I told you. I warned you. I got some hate mail over it, but I was right. Now, here we are. What are you going to do? You're going to do another speaker election? And guess what? You'll get Hakeem Jeffries. You don't have enough Republicans to vote for other Republicans in the House right now. And you don't have a guy that can step up into Mike Johnson's position. It's not going to happen. Jim Jordan didn't get the votes the first time around. The second time around, he won't get them the third time around either. I like Jim Jordan. He's not going to be speaker. Nor does he want to be, really. I don't even think he wants to be. And same with some of these others. And Jim Jordan's too conservative. Which only can you say it in that context, is it a bad thing, right? Only in that context is it a bad thing. It's just wild. We talked a little bit earlier about the Title IX stuff. And just to recap, it wasn't legislation. The Biden administration just, you know, had another edict where they essentially nullified Title IX because they decided to incorporate all of this, you know, alphabet plus stuff into it. And by redefining sex as, you know, gender as basically a social construct. Whatever you identify as is now the definition of what your sex is, when Title IX was literally a sex-based regulation. So they've killed it. They killed it. So it means that now men who want to cosplay as women can now take all of the scholarships. They can take places in competition, the bathrooms, the everything, dorms. They must be housed in dorm rooms with women now. Simply if they choose to define as a female. And then it's actionable to deny a man who wants to cosplay as a woman. It's actionable to deny him any of these things in the Title IX context. So that's the new reality of it. And where are the third wave feminists? Where are the feminists with all of this, by the way? I mean, this was their big thing. Title IX was feminists' big thing, right? Golly, I just remember growing up, that's all I heard about. That's literally all I heard about was Title IX and inequality in the schools and inequality in sports and all of this stuff. And now here we are. What do they have to say for themselves? The regulations that they have like published, or now the new regulations that they have introduced, carry the same weight and action as actual law, like as legislation that was created by members of Congress, maybe even more so. So they've, in any kind of civil law, sex has been redefined to be that of gender identity. I mean, that's, and you guys know what that means. Think about college dorms. Think about a lot of you parents out there, because it's April, right? A lot of schools, a lot of people are going to be graduating next month. You parents that have high school daughters graduating, going to college. Now there's a great chance they're going to be housed in a dorm room with a male. No joke. And they're under no obligation to tell you that it's a male who's pretending to be a woman. Probably still has a male copulatory organ, the whole nine yards. But they're not going to tell you, because they're not going to have to disclose that. It's just going to happen. You're not, you'll know on move-in day when you do the neck check, you'll know. And your daughter's going to have to sleep in a room with someone who is still attracted to women, has a penis, but tucks it and pretends to be a chick. Do you feel safe with your daughter being alone and vulnerable like that in a room with a strange man that can overpower her easily? Because that's exactly, you're going to see this happening. That's already happening. Taking her spot on sports teams. Great job, feminists. Men struck back and beat you. And the matriarchy made it happen. That's the total irony of the women's movement. They wanted to be subservient to men, but they are. They're subservient to men who are pretending to be women. They are more subservient than the women they made fun of. They make fun of, like, what, traditional housewives and all this stuff. These women are more subservient than those women are, because they're literally giving up their own places, their own safety, their own spaces for men. And then they're trying to sell other women that it's the feminist thing to do. I have never seen a movement get so owned in my entire life. Feminism is dead, and women killed it. They murked it outright. I mean, where are all of these women? Where are the, I was trying to think some of these other broads that are out there. Where are the Gloria Steinems and all that? Where are the Linda Hirschmans? I got into a fight with her one time because she said that women who stay home essentially and have college-educated women who stay home are betrayal of their sex. I just lost my mind on her. These skeksis of the matriarchy. When I think of the matriarchy, I think of Dark Crystal, and I think of those desiccated old crones that are wearing those dusty old velvet capes, wandering around, drinking everybody's youth. That's what I think of when I think of feminists. I think of that. And I think of the Linda Hirschmans, and I think of the Gloria Steinems, and I think all of these desiccated old crones that circle up like birds of prey, and they march around the youth of women, and they exploit their naivete and everything else. They create this cottage industry, and then they sell out women that they claim to help. I mean, they really are the original pimps. Think about it. These old feminists are the original pimps. They pimped out the next generation of women like this, and now you can see what it's wrought. There is no put down that is good enough for these women. They convinced women that they needed to get out of the house and go back into the fields to work after women fought for ages to get out of the fields so that they can raise their own children. They set women back by who knows how long. And now, after they told everyone that you needed Title IX, women need Title IX, now barely a peep. Yeah, feminism is dead, and these broads killed it. So now gender identity is part of Title IX, and biological males, they have full claim over women's rights. This is the most ironic thing I've ever seen in my life. And of course, the overhaul apparently was influenced by non-binary and transgender activists who were threatening to commit suicide if they weren't granted access to the same facilities that align with their chosen gender. Just asinine. And by the way, this isn't just related to college. So you understand, Title IX, literally affects everything, even down to daycare. Any educational program at all is affected by this. Everything. This has nothing to do with just college, and it has nothing to even do with just high school. This goes all the way down to daycare. So when you hear that activists are not coming for your kids, it's an absolute lie. They are. And this is, just shocking. It is shocking. I've been looking for any kind of feminist speaking up about it, and I can't find it. You know what? They're all too busy trashing J.K. Rowling and things like that. It's a betrayal of women. And that just goes to show you how confident the Biden administration feels about having women's vote. They can stab you in the back like this, and women will show up for them. I guess you get what you deserve. Part of me, I got to be honest. Part of me doesn't feel bad for these women at all, because they created this mess. The part I do feel bad for are women like me who never had a part in it. And, you know, we get lumped in with it and we have to suffer the effects of it as well. I feel bad for people like us. But man, what an ironic thing, right?
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
And a quick note, too, and we'll have this coming up at the top of the next hour. Apparently, a man set himself on fire just now outside of the, near the courthouse where Trump is, the jury trial is, they assembled the jury and they're getting that underway. There's a lot of very graphic video out there. And that's all we know. We don't know anything about the guy. We don't know anything about motive. If it just that it took place near the courthouse, I would imagine somebody was taking advantage of the cameras there. But we'll have some updates on that for you. As for Florida Man, good heavens, we're actually going to Florida Man for sanity. We didn't have time to get into this one yesterday, but it was reported that a Florida man, this is News Channel 8, WFLA, in Port Orange, Florida, a Florida man cracked open a beer after allegedly firing a gun right near officers and said, I want to drink this beer. Is that cool? As they were approaching him. Brett McPeak said body camera video shows all this stuff. An officer has his gun drawn and he's talking to McPeak and he goes, do you have a firearm on you? McPeak says, no, sir. And then he goes, this beer is cold, sir. I want to drink it. And he goes, come check me. I want to drink this beer. Is that cool? I haven't done anything wrong. And then the officer says, tells him to put his hands up. And he says, right now we're trying to figure out what's going on, bud. He goes, we want to make sure that everybody's safe. And they take him into custody. Now, when they took him into custody, he didn't have it on his person. But they did find stuff in his house. And he just, because apparently he was just outside firing it off in the neighborhood, as was being reported. Drinking a beer and firing it off in the neighborhood. They don't say anything as to whether or not how drunk he was, but he was charged with using a firearm while under the influence. So that's, you know, and then he got charged. He had a recklessness charge because he was firing it off in the neighborhood, which is, you don't do the Joe Biden thing. You know, whatever Joe Biden says when he's like, yeah, just shoot it off into the air. You don't do that. Oh, boy. A Florida man was accused of threatening to beat up a family member once his prosthetic leg arrived. So a woman in Marion County, Florida, called 911. Her nephew, who is 26 years old, became aggressive with her and other family members in their home. And the man involved, Algenis Diaz, told his aunt that he felt that she should be taking care of him because he was, you know, a recent amputee. They began arguing. And then when other family members tried to mediate, he apparently said that he was going to blank beat the expletive out of the victim the moment he gets his prosthetic leg, according to arrest records. And because he apparently did hit her or something, it's what's being reported by Fox 35, he was taken to Marion County Jail on a kind of misdemeanor or on a kind of assault charge. But yeah, apparently he was heard, multiple witnesses saying, as soon as I get my prosthetic leg. Okay, well, there you go. All right. This Florida man got upset with noise from the room upstairs, and so he decided to pepper spray the hallway, hoping that it would shut people up, and instead they had to evacuate the entire hotel because all of the guests decided they were struggling to breathe. They started having respiratory issues, and over 100 guests were evacuated. It was a hotel in DeLand. Daniel Young, 59, was arrested and charged with criminal mischief of more than $1,000. And he's a convict, so he was not allowed to have a weapon, and he had a weapon, so he got another charge for that. And it was at 8 p.m., and people were being too loud in the hall, so he pepper sprayed it, and he got arrested. You can't do stuff like that. You know, you can call down to the front desk.
But how's it not like chemical warfare?
Yeah, like you don't, because you got to be in that hotel too, right? So why? He didn't think that far ahead. All right, coming up, all the latest and breaking news. As we told you, somebody set themselves on fire near the courthouse where the Trump trial's at. We'll have the latest on that. Stick with us. Yikes. So apparently, someone set themselves on fire near the courthouse where Trump's trial is taking place and where they were assembling the jury. And there were a bunch of live shots. Like, there's a bunch of live shots that all these different networks have, and they're all sitting around. They're all positioned around, and a lot of them were in the middle of live coverage, and then they started looking around. And Juan has a sensor, so you're not seeing anything that you shouldn't be seeing. That is disturbing from some of the footage out there that shows law enforcement rushing up. But these people that were doing these live shots, they stopped mid-shot because they were all reporting on the Trump thing, and they were looking around, and they said, there's a fire, we can see a fire somewhere, and then they realized, oh my gosh, someone set themselves on fire. It looked like a dude. He didn't scream or anything, and it was right where they have everything partitioned off. So it's like where they have, again, all of the news crews and everything else. And I don't think that it is, I can't say for certain, you can't say whether or not it was related, like as a protest for the Trump trial or whatever, because nobody knows. I mean, it could have also been someone sees all these cameras and what a great way to get attention for something. Nobody knows if he had like a sign with him or a message, like the one dude, the Bushnell dude who set himself on fire and then nobody else talked about it. Somebody said, there was a meme online that said Skibidi Toilet got more mentions than that guy's self-immolation, which is, don't even ask. But nobody knows what this is related to. So who knows? I mean, people are setting themselves on fire for all kinds of stuff nowadays. I don't know. It's like, doesn't this feel like Heathers? Like the premise of Heathers where, you know, suicide's the trendy thing. Now it's self-immolation. It's like Heathers 2.0. Golly. So that's the latest. And like I said, we don't know what it's about. Now, Karine Jean-Pierre is also giving a press conference right now. So we're going to watch to see if Ducey Time pops up. And maybe he can ask about Papua New Guinea being upset and offended over Joe Biden's story about them all eating people. eating any old dude that falls out the sky. And then maybe they can also ask about the, what is it, the Finunu products? Can I just hear it real quick again? This was, which one was this? Audio soundbite, whatever. It was where he said the Finunu product. Maybe Ducey can ask about this too. Listen.
Well, instead of important foreign products, I'm exporting Fevre products.
So maybe Ducey can ask about Fevre products. So we'll see. And then, can we just save number three forever? I literally don't ever want to get rid of that. Because that's, I think, my favorite soundbite there. So we'll let you know if that's, if he gets to ask that question. If we could all just send a telepathic message to Peter Ducey right now. It's Mother's Day, ladies. Mother's Day's coming up soon. I think that could, you know, that would be a nice gift for us, wouldn't it? Just to ask about the cannibalism. I just want to see the question asked, and I just want to watch her try to respond to that. I've never really wanted anything for Mother's Day, but I want this. Really want this so badly. So there you have it. So in the meantime, as we're watching all of this stuff, we need to talk about some 2024 stuff. Do we want to talk about the Kennedy thing? Let's just touch on it. 13, Kerry Kennedy slammed Trump and announced the family's endorsement for Biden because they're worried about RFK, apparently. Listen.
President Trump spews dangerous conspiracy theories on climate change, vaccines,
okay,
windmills.
Okay, pause. I'm sorry. I can't. I'm not going to make it through. Why do they all sound like they're jumping on trampolines when they talk? Does that mean why? What is up with the vocal affectation? What in the world? Why does the guy on her right side look like the dentist left the thing in his mouth to clean his teeth? Like he just walked right out the dentist chair with that plastic thing. What is up? I'm sorry. Go ahead and let it go. I didn't mean to interrupt it. I did, but I couldn't make it that long without saying this. Go ahead. Sorry. I'm sorry.
To repeal the Affordable Care Act and cut Social Security and Medicare, ripping away health care and earned benefits for millions of Americans who rely on them in their retirement. I can only imagine how Donald Trump's outrageous lies and behavior would have horrified my father, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, who proudly served as the Attorney General of the United States and honored his pledge to uphold the law and protect the country.
Does that guy make any other face?
For equal
no, he doesn't.
Does he make any other face? That's a meme. Does he, Juan's zooming in. Any other face? Whenever Biden talks, I feel like whatever Kennedy this is. And his mouth stays like that. It stays like that. Whenever Joe Biden talks, if you can see on the simulcast, this is what I feel like. I don't even know, man. I think that's pretty crummy to have one family member act like the gatekeeper for everything. Oh, I feel like migrants. Shut up. Literally nobody cares about you. You won the DNA lotto. Stop. No, stop. I mean, what does Kerry Kennedy do even? Let me look. I don't know anything about most of them. Oh, she's a lawyer. Of course she is. And then she probably got, nonprofit, blah, blah, blah. Of course she did. And it's RFK's junior's younger. I'm not even a big fan of RFK Jr. I just think it's par for the course for this family to attack each other like this publicly. That's so trashy. And what's one of the first rules of the Corleone family? Right? What is one of the first rules? You never, ever. Yeah, you don't disagree with the family publicly. You don't do this. And she also was married to Andrew Cuomo for a while. So they all were. Now you understand why Andrew Cuomo had been groomed to take over. He was married to a Kennedy. They still think that they think they're a dynasty. They think that they marry and they keep themselves in these positions so that they can constantly be right there on the periphery of politics. They're trying to do it with Caroline Kennedy Schlossberg's kid. Her son, who's he's miles wide and inches deep. And he, you know, he goes to Ivy League school. He doesn't work. He does all this, you know, and he does all, they have him positioned. They're trying to get him to be the next big thing. You had the Patrick Kennedy and all these others. So they want to be right there on the periphery of maybe potentially stepping into that pathway to the presidency again. And for her to act like, for her to gatekeep about it, she's, you know, my grandfather, you don't get to say that. Shame on you. That's so trashy. I know family like that. I can't stand when people do this stuff. I think it's so trashy, and I think it looks so thirsty and pathetic when family members try to leech on other family members like that and try to steal whatever shine from whatever they're doing and to try to undermine them. Like, she's the gatekeeper of her grandfather. Good night. No, you're not. So that's it's just tacky. Notice how they all do that. You have the Bidens and you got the Kennedy. Good night. Just, you know, it's they're perfect for each other. They're just perfect for each other. So the, let me make sure. I hope that you've signed up for the newsletter, because we're going to be, we have, people had asked about the Gibson Go for Dexter Taylor, which is the, I think, the most important fundraising aspect of it. We were talking earlier about the tale of two Dexters. You have Dexter Reed, who shot at cops, and cops return fire, and people are out there protesting like he's like this innocent icon. And then you have Dexter Taylor, an innocent man, who New York raided and threw in Rikers. He's facing, you know, really 18 years in prison because he's a hobbyist. He's a firearms hobbyist. And New York law, which is recent, New York law conflicts with federal statute. That's going to have to get resolved somehow. But the sad thing is, because they won't allow him to bond out, the sad thing is he's going to be in jail until it does. That's the sad thing about all of this. When they try to infringe upon your rights, it has to go through, it goes through the court system until a judge states the obvious of what we all know. Yes, this is an infringement. And in the meantime, you have an innocent man sitting in prison. They don't care about his rights, though. It's just truly unbelievable. And still no protests. Now, in the meantime, the FBI, you know, the FBI is worried about people like Dexter Taylor. And they're also worried about white supremacists, they said, teaming up with Islamic extremists. So apparently, this was something that Gun Owners of America found out. They had receipts showing that the FBI were targeting so-called militant violent extremists. So if you referenced like the Betsy Ross flag or a Minuteman, that apparently was an indicator that you could be like a seriously violent, what's the word? Militant violent extremist. They keep doing this stuff. They did this before when everyone started really using the Gadsden flag back during the early Tea Party days. And they look at what they call racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists. None of that includes BLM, by the way. And they think they're trying to act like there's the white supremacists are going to work with Islamic terrorists. I just try to wrap your mind around that one. Although World War II, why did Iran get its name? Wasn't there a story around that? But they said they're also concerned about ideology hoppers. That's a phrase that they use. People who adopt aspects of or switch between violent extremist or militant violent extremist ideologies. What in the world? So this is, they're trying to make it out to be what? They're not looking for actually, so they're not really, are they actually looking for terrorists, like foreign terrorists, or no? This is insane. Now, in addition to this, got some culture for you. We'll talk more about this after headlines coming up. But remember, Planet Fitness is back in the news. They've hired a new CEO. You know, because they really need a lot of help. The woman's name is Colleen Keating. And she's apparently taking over as Planet Fitness' CEO on June 10th. Now, they're experiencing a lot of backlash over their trans policies. She's apparently a big-time DEI pusher. She's a DEI hire, for sure. And we're going to talk about this because I guess I don't know what they think that they're going to accomplish by hiring someone who prioritizes DEI, but that's who they've, they're trying to save themselves by digging the hole deeper, essentially. We'll touch on this more. We also have all of the latest headlines, and the press avail with KJP is happening right now. We'll keep you abreast of any developments there.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, I mean, this is pretty creative. A man tried to rob a store with a 5-foot snake, say police. Memphis police say that the man attempted to rob a gas station with an actual 5-foot long snake. Reginald Cook, 26 years old, is charged with 2 counts of attempted aggravated robbery. His bond's been set to $4,000. It was 2 a.m. and he made a purchase. Then 30 minutes later, he went back to the store and he kept reaching into his clothing. And then he had a live 5-foot snake wrapped around his neck. And he said, give me the blanking money, reaching inside of his backpack. And yeah, he pulled out the cashier called 911 and pulled out his own firearm. No money was taken. No one was injured. And they found a railroad spike and a rock inside the backpack he was carrying. Police also took possession of the snake. The cook's family, and this was nice, I will say, because you don't really see that a lot in these stories. The store owner said that Cook's family came to the store Tuesday of this week to apologize and offer to pay for any damages. That's actually really nice of the family to do that. They should do it. But you don't normally see that in these stories like this, right? That's kind of... And you also don't really see people robbing a store with a snake. It sounds like he probably couldn't own a weapon, so this was the best he could do, right? It's like the Pawn Stars. Best I can do is a 5-foot snake. So all I got. An 8-year-old was found driving a car in downtown St. Louis while mom slept in the back seat. An 8-year-old, downtown St. Louis. St. Louis Metropolitan Police, they said that the kid was driving in the wrong direction on South 4th and Walnut Street. Like, literally, yeah, right. Kane and I both lived and worked in St. Louis. That's right downtown. They didn't say what time of day it was, but the 8-year-old told police that the mom could no longer drive, told the 8-year-old to take over. She was found, oh gosh, it gets worse, unconscious in the back of the vehicle, along with the 3-year-old, who was just sitting around, not in a car seat or anything like that. They took the mom, Latonta Gale, 28, into custody. They charged her with 2 counts of first degree endangering the welfare of a child. They didn't say why she was asleep or passed out in the backseat of the car, but oh my gosh. So a student, this is WHIO, and I'm trying to understand this story. This student brought a bag of chips to school and now is missing out on prom. And the reason why they told her that she can't go to her prom because she brought a bag of chips to school is because they were corn chips and a teacher is severely allergic to an ingredient in them. And someone said that they gave her the chips. The parents said somebody gave them the chips to her on the bus and she was hungry and so she ate them. She didn't finish all of them. There were literally 2 chips left in the bag. That's ridiculous to do that to this girl. It's her prom. Good heavens. And maybe if you're that allergic, have a backup plan. I'm just saying. We got more in store. Stick with us.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why is President Biden saying he was shot down? There's no evidence of that. And why is he saying that his uncle was eaten by cannibals? That is a bad way to go.
He lost his life. It's not, look, I'm not, we should not make jokes about
it's
this.
Not, President Biden said that his uncle was eaten by cannibals.
I mean, your last line, it's for a laugh. It's for a funny statement. And he takes this very seriously. His uncle, who served and protected this country, lost his life serving. And that should matter.
He didn't lose his life serving, though. That's the thing. Why are we doing this? By the way, let's all say thank you, Peter Ducey, for asking the question we all wanted to hear asked. Thank you, Peter Ducey. Gotta clap. He heard it. He heard when we were all sending him those telepathic messages. See, when we put all of our heads together like that, it's powerful. It's real powerful. It's sent like a laser beam right to his mind. So glad that he asked it. But she says, I like how he adds it. It's a bad way to go. Damn right it is. we should make jokes about this. Well, then why did Biden make a joke of it by saying it? Why did he make a joke about it then by saying it, right? Like, why would you do that?
And by the way, it's not a joke to say that's a bad way to go, because it is a bad way to go.
Yeah, it's a way bad way to go. Like, why? I'm just trying to figure out, why in the world would you, if you did, you had to known that people were going to make a joke about you fabricating a story, especially about your family member getting eaten by people. And then, of course, we told you earlier that all the folks in Papua New Guinea, apparently they got mad. And now you have these experts and government officials that are speaking out about it. Great job, increasing our respect in the world. So nice. But they were on a courier mission. So that they weren't even, it was, he, what in the world? He was a passenger on a jet, and they weren't shot down. They said that, according to, and Lorraine has a piece on this up at Chapter and Verse and Substack, the flight ran into problems 40 minutes in, and they attempted to ditch in the sea, but both engines failed roughly, they failed, and they said nose over impacting hard, and only the engineer managed to escape. And the only thing that he got right was that he was in the Army Air Force, but he wasn't a pilot. He wasn't shot down. His plane never went down in the northern part of the island, anywhere near cannibals. And that when he said he was gifted a piece of the aircraft in 23, it wasn't a part of the plane that his uncle was in. Lorraine makes a good point of, the guy's story is already pretty impressive. Why does he need to embellish it the way he does? Oh, and then add all this stuff onto it. That's just crazy. Why would you do that? Oh, because it's Joe Biden. Why am I asking? Of course. It's just goofy. But there was only one bit of truth in his whole story. And then Karine Jean-Pierre is going to act as though the problem isn't that Biden told you this dumb story. It's that you're asking about it. That's not the way to go. All right, let's talk about some culture. So my kids are older. They don't watch this stuff anymore. It's been a long time since they've ever watched any of this. Kane, are you familiar with the kids show, the Australian cartoon Bluey?
Bluey?
I'm made of jokes right now.
No, I'm not.
Following the Biden story, I'm just made of them. So apparently, Bluey introduced a same-sex couple in the season finale, but apparently it was really quick, and they meant it to be just a quick thing. So apparently, a couple of minutes into this episode, Bluey's friend Pretzel, and by the way, this stuff is drawn so horribly. Why they it's like a factory of poorly animated kid crap. It really is. So, excuse me, this friend, his name is Pretzel. He said, quote, "When my guinea pig ran away, my mums told me he might come back, but he didn't." So he had plural reference of mums. And then apparently there was I don't know. Why? Why is there the need to do it?
Are they supposed to be dingoes or something?
I don't know what the hell they are. I don't want to know what they are. I don't care.
I think they're dingoes.
The dingo ate my baby. Hang on, Bluey. I can't believe I'm looking this up.
I think they're dingoes.
Jeez. Are they dingoes? Oh my gosh, is Bluey popular with adults? That actually came up. This is why Smod needs to come. It's a preschool TV series. It's Australian. I can't do an Australian accent. But it's produced with the BBC. And it's a Bluey Healer. So it's a dog, but I don't think it's a dingo. Okay. And they have different dog-type pals. I hate everything. Oh, man. The mother works part-time in airport security.
Do you know of any dogs that would have two moms? And not a dad?
No. Because they're dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Bluey has friends, including a poodle, a Dalmatian, a beagle, an Afghan hound, a border collie. Really? Blah, 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 blah. But yeah, apparently they had a same-sex couple that they had introduced. And
diverse breeds.
Why? Why?
These
why?
DEI with the breeds? Those breeds are...
Yeah.
DEI.
Why does it need to be in a kid's program? Lorraine says that there's stuff for mom snuck in the show. What? No, I'm not. Some of these ladies need to be getting out the house and touching grass. That's all I know. But the point, why do you have to include stuff like this in a kid's show, right? Why does stuff like this have to be in a kid's show? Can you just let kids be kids? Look, I promise you, kids are going to grow up, become adults, and realize how much everything sucks soon enough, right? Sometimes it's almost like parents want to ruin what it is to be a kid earlier because they're jealous that they're kids now. I don't know. It's like, so it's goofy. I don't know why they insist on pushing this baggage onto kids, though. It's like, stop. They don't even know their ABCs yet. They're preschoolers. And you're sitting here like, this dog has two moms.
I have an idea. Let's just do a kid show just called Touch Grass.
Yeah.
It's just a screen where you're walking on grass.
Yeah, and you're going out and doing normal things.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I just don't understand this need to constantly push this. To try to plant these are, kids are trying to understand, you know, concrete ideals, not abstract stuff. And they don't even understand. Most of them don't even know where, you know, babies come from at this age. And you're sitting here pushing that. It doesn't make any sense to me. So first is the Bluey thing. Did you guys hear this story? Speaking of a trans stuff and everything else, Alphabet, I'm going to pull this up because this was a story that broke late yesterday evening, and it has to do with a Maryland teen who was accused of threatening to shoot up her school. She wrote a 129-page manifesto talking about how to murder other students and, quote, set the record for the most amount of kills in a shooting. And she identifies as a male, and apparently is, I guess, like a trans activist. And So this teenager was arrested for planning this. She chooses to go by the name Alex. And it was at Wooten High School in Rockville, Maryland. And so I don't know how police found the manifesto, but apparently they were made aware of it. She wrote that she wants to be famous and contemplated targeting an elementary school, she said, because little kids make easier targets. And she said that the manifesto was her memoir. And she hasn't been on campus physically since 2022. She's been attending through a virtual program. And the FBI had apparently, I don't know what got them to this point, but apparently they were acting on a search warrant and found not just this manifesto, but they found drawings, documents, her internet searches, everything. And apparently someone had contacted authorities in early March about this. And kudos, by the way, to that person. This is what I'm talking about. You don't need a complete dissolution of your due process rights. The stuff that, I mean, she apparently had been exhibiting enough signs to where, without having to reduce due process per red flag law, you could literally use existing established law and have someone adjudicated a prohibited possessor, ineligible to purchase or carry, and then get them situated, whether it's a mental health assessment, whatever. But the witness apparently thought that the behavior, and we don't know a lot about the witness, but apparently they thought the behavior of this woman and the stuff that she had been doing, she was getting ready to do something. Like, she was actively preparing to do something, to actually act on multiple threats that she had made online, in her writings, in her memoir, all that other stuff. So that was, that's important. That's crazy though. Have you heard really a lot in the, from the news about ABC, to their credit, they came out with the story. She has a long history of inpatient care for mental health issues per ABC. And this isn't the first time that she openly expressed homicidal thoughts. She was previously hospitalized because she had threatened to shoot up a school, and she's been hospitalized like two or three times because she keeps threatening to murder people. And apparently they think that she had the ability to act on it and the resources to act on it. And so they keep reevaluating her, and she's been involuntarily committed multiple times. She's already ineligible to carry and purchase, but that doesn't stop the black market. The black market is the black market because it tries to get around existing law. That's not a loophole. That's a crime. That's a criminal act. Just like anything, if you're not following the established law, you're not going through a loophole. You're committing a crime. But there was no way she would have been able to walk into a retailer and get a firearm, because she's been, I mean, that immediately shows up. It's the National Crime Information Center, NCIC. That's one of the categories, one of the classifications for ineligibility. And as many times as she was previously hospitalized involuntarily, yeah, that's it for homicidal threats, apparently, according to ABC. But kudos to the person who blew the whistle, because that's what was needed in Parkland. And that person was just as homicidal, had already actually physically beaten people, knocked the teeth out of his own mom's head, was online threatening to shoot up a school. And, you know, you had the sheriff down there who didn't do a damn thing. Robert Runcie, who was too busy trying to reduce the school-to-prison pipeline by literally not reporting felonious activity so he could get an award from the Obama administration. They're all culpable in that, all of them. So thankfully, someone was not going to play that with this.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
I've been a proud steelworker for 23 years, and I know hard work when I see it. I love to tell the story about meeting President Biden, because when you meet him, this guy's as sharp as a knife. They have nothing else to attack, because they can't attack the things that he's doing that are so good for this country. I see people going back to work, jobs coming to the area, infrastructure being fixed up. Joe Biden gets things done. That's just who he is.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
He does stuff, guys. I swear he does. For crying out loud. So that was the newest ad, the Joe Biden ad. his allies trying to say he's as sharp as a tack, guys. Do you believe that, Kane?
Yeah, he actually said sharp as a knife. And I have a lot of knives in my house that aren't very sharp at all, actually. But yeah, sharp as a tack is definitely an attempt to sell us on something that isn't real.
Yeah. So a quick programming note. For the next couple of weeks here, it's going to be super touch and go. I'm on call for federal jury duty, and I am not going to know until the night before whether or not I'm going to be on air the next day until I call in that evening. It's very, very helpful for broadcasting, you know, when you work in broadcasting, to not know whether or not you're going to be on air the next day. So it's created all kinds of chaotic hell here, obviously. But we're going to have to figure it out and see where it goes. But it's going to be for the next, it's going to be up until May, until the first week of May. So that's the way it is. Yay. I love the fact that it coincides with tax day. And of course, I get to give you this news on the day that you had the Warsaw Ghetto uprisings, and you had the Janet Reno going all crazy on Waco. And then, of course, Lexington and Concord. Very interesting how these just all happens to fall on the same day, Kane. It's crazy. So, and I won't know. And you can't bring anything in with you. I think I'm just going to bring in a super political book and read it. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, the title of the book is in bold letters.
If it's a grisly case, you can't have me on for something like that, because I immediately want to mark the person that the case would be about. So I'm just saying. All right. So that's just a programming note. I have no idea if I'm going to be here Monday or not. So, well, you'll find out Monday. Right. We'll see. All right. In the meantime, today in stupidity.
All right. It is White House spokesperson Karine Jean-Pierre. This is her talking about the Middle East thing. This is how much the government wants to give you information. Listen.
I know there's a lot of interest in reports from the Middle East overnight.
Tell us.
And we understand that. We get that.
So what do you got?
I'm going to say it now, though I know you all will certainly ask me about it, that we do not have any comment on the reports.
Folks, that does it for us tonight. Make sure you send it for Substack, Chapter and Verse. The contributors will still have good stuff going out over there. Find us on Facebook and YouTube. I may be here Monday, I may not. We'll find out. Have a great weekend.